special guest that you did. Oh, okay. And it was much help to everybody.
Good, I appreciate it.
It's my pleasure. Oh.
All right, you guys. Here we go. Hi out there all around the world. And all of us who are nestled together, good morning, good afternoon, wherever you are. All right. All right. Any questions about anything covered so far? Mark? Where specifically are you talking about?
Well, I want to know both, but let's say...
Which two occasions are you specifically talking about?
In the induction.
Okay, so that's not IWOC.
Right, that's just the eye testing, the testing eye disease.
Then you do what I...
don't work.
Then you explain to them like I do with the hand. Take your hand, make it tight, let it be loose, hold on to the relaxation, try to make a fist. And then make a fist, say, is it still relaxed? No, good. You relax it. Now try holding on. And then you say, once they got that down, then you say, good, now let's do that with your eyelids. Relax your eyelids like you relaxed your hand. Now, just like your hand won't work, your eyelids won't work. Do that for me now. And then they get it. And the other time is during the eye lock test,
yeah.
If they open their eyes, then they faked losing the numbers probably. Because, or they became so afraid because they couldn't open their eyes that they emerged themselves. Those would be the two situations. Because if they really lost the numbers, then they're at least level 4, so they're going to pass the test for level 1. Unless they become afraid, emerge themselves.
So once they open their eyes, you
talk to them and say, what
happened there?
Yeah, what happened?
Start over from the beginning, or?
Well, yeah, you have to remediate what happened. If they have a fear or misconception about hypnosis, then you're back to the pre-talk. Because it's a process, so you got to get pre-talk done before you can get the hypnosis done. They've got to understand that we don't pretend at any part in this process, unless I say, this is a role play, which these aren't, these are all real stuff. There will be one time when we do a role play, but we're going for the real thing.
Okay, so you're at that point in the hypnosis, let's say, and they say, well, I have a past life fear of my eyelids were nailed shut, and I prefer not to do that at eye lock test.
Then do arm catalepsy.
So you do arm catalepsy? Okay, and then do you actually put them back under the place that they were at?
Just start over, you can use a practice.
But you would normally in a session?
I'd say press on my hand, close your eyes, sleep, and I do an instant induction.
Okay.
That's what I do, because it takes 4 seconds. I do a quick down, one down to 5 count. I probably do eye fractionation, because that takes, so in about a minute I can get them back into somnambulism, tested and everything, and then do arm catalepsy. Are you posing over there?
Yes. Yes, I am.
I hope it was a decent proposal.
It was. Look at the size of the rock he's got.
Any other questions about anything covered so far? I'm not going to talk about the exams. I have all of them. I'm still missing 2 exams.
Okay.
Is there anybody who has not turned in an exam? I'm missing some exams. Has anyone not turned in an exam? Okay.
I'll hand them to me.
Thank you. Oh. It's good to have a staff. Okay.
That's what Moses said.
Anybody else? And John Holmes.
On page 20 in the level 2 handbook, there's a chart of unpleasant human emotions.
Yes.
I'm just kind of confused by the chart itself.
Yeah, I will go over it.
Okay.
I haven't got there yet. Kind of makes you wonder, doesn't it? it kind of requires some explanation.
Yeah.
Good. Any other questions about anything covered so far? Mark, give us a report. How's it going with the practicers?
Excellent. Everyone's group of teams, everyone's very dedicated to practicing, to getting it down. One thing that people are working on is that they don't have nice script for merging. So I've given them all the one to three count script to merge.
I gave it to them 2 days ago or 3 days ago. In a moment, I'm going to count from one to three. When I get to three, open your eyes and emerge. One, two, three. And you do feel good, don't you? And they all wrote it down. So I don't know what you guys did with it, but Mark's got to give it to you again.
They may not have had it with them. It might have been two separate places.
Could have been two separate universes. Yeah, parallel universe.
As a whole, I've seen a lot of growth, a lot of good work, a lot of good following directions.
Yeah. Generally speaking, I think this class is a little bit smarter than the class we're in.
I know.
That's not anything on you as an individual. But I mean, we had like...
Even if those walk me,
So far, 7 of you have got perfect scores on the exams. So that's pretty good. So that's what I'm judging that by. Yes, you obviously, as a group, you're a lot smarter than you look. So
they've been doing very well. All the little tips have been minuscule and nuance-based.
I was watching you yesterday afternoon give tips about iLock to 2 or 3 students and about not testing until they are until they see iLock, right? And I haven't talked about that yet, so why don't you come up here and tell the whole group so that they know, given, because I just haven't got to that yet. I mean, I thought you did a really good job of explaining it.
I explained to everybody lots of times, particularly the TWs. Who can tell me the TWs? Raise your hands. Let's all do it all at once. 1, 2, 3.
Pushing, tightening.
Good. Good. If you think that that's raising your voice, the client, you ain't seen nothing yet in terms of emotions and outpouring and using your voice and them using their voice. You build it up so it's congruent, but you can get twitching and tightening.
And it works particularly good if you can get some little droplets on the side of your face.
Yeah. Never hand them a hanky until after the session's over. You really want them to cry. But that's a whole other story.
Not because of the eye lock.
No, not because of the eye lock. You don't want them to bleed because their eyes are squeezed shut. No.
But what about snot? Come on.
Okay. No, let the snot run down the
face. I already talked about snot.
Okay, moving along.
Okay, eye lock. Now, I usually won't go from 1 to 2 or 2 to 3 until I see that those eyes are locked shut, like, tight. Okay, sometimes people, you can do one, your eyes begin to twitch and tighten, and then the person says, and then they go 2, and the client's eyes will just relax again. You say 2, twitching and tightening, locking down. 3, twitching, tightening, down, lock. You want to get them so that they're in a position where those eyes are shut, and so when you go from 1 to 2, they don't relax those eyes for even a second. You get them mashed in. And I don't like to limit it to 3. There are several little variations that you're going to see in your manuals of doing eye catalepsy. But what you want to know is if you use one of the other ones that are just slightly different, and don't limit yourself to 3, then if you have to go to 5 or to 10 to make sure that those eyes are like this, then do so.
What if they're not?
What's that?
What if you get to 10 and they're not?
If I get to 10, then I'll probably merge them and get them to talk.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And he's right about everything he said. I'm going to take it a little bit further, and that is, so we generally, in a real session, I'm keeping it simple for your practice right now, but we use a slightly different script, and it's in the manuals, and that is, instead of saying I'm going to count from 1 to 3, just say, in a moment, I'm going to start counting, starting with the number 1, and with each number, your eyelids will twitch and tighten. Then you have as many numbers as you want. But if you get to like 10, and they're not like that yet, right, then what you do is say, good, stop testing. You always praise them, you don't criticize them, right? And then you say, good, we're going to do that in a moment, we're going to do that again. Human beings do better with practice. This time I want you to squeeze them so tight, even I can see it. If that's okay with you, nod your head. Good. one, and then you just start over again. Because you want to see really good eye lock. Because you want to have that be successful approaching 100% of the time.
And always keep in mind what... Thank you, Cam. Always keep in mind what phase one is for. Who can raise their hand and tell the class what phase one is for? Astra.
PTC.
Who can tell what PTC stands for? Go ahead. Sib.
Preparatory testing and convincing.
Preparation.
What? Testing and convincing.
Preparation, testing, and convincing.
Perforation? What?
Preparation.
Preparation.
I just perforated my client.
Contouring. That's dangerous.
All right.
Thank you.
Yay. You guys are really great.
There's nothing like a little bit of enthusiasm.
And I got to be a little difficult on you guys because you don't want to see Cal. See you do something wrong.
We're a smarter class.
You certainly are.
Oh, okay, good. Any questions about anything covered so far? What are you doing? What are you trying to get them to do?
You don't think that they've gone to level four. You think that they're faking the act, they're number counting, and you have a feeling that they're either resisting you or they're following their own script or something.
Yeah, one of the things is with clients, they don't know that they're being tested when they do the losing the numbers. And so they don't fake it because they don't know to fake it. But if for some reason you thought someone was being overly compliant and letting the number just stopping counting because they think that's what you want them to do, then just switch to the eye fractionation deepening technique covert test. It's really, really hard to fake that one even if you're trying, because you have to be in that state of consciousness for it to work, because you'll anticipate the three. It doesn't take that long to do it. Another minute. Anything else? Yes?
I got a question, but it was on the test.
I haven't yet graded all the tests. We just got a couple in, and once I get that done, then I will talk about the test.
Mark, does anything we've covered so far include the eight compression we did last
night? No. Because I'm going to get into that. Cover it. No sense of me, because I'm probably going to talk about it anyway. So let's talk a little bit about what was your seven path practice like. Any questions or comments about that? So last night, this morning.
I hate getting interrupted by my cat.
So intelligence is defined as the ability to learn from experience. How are you intelligently going to deal with that?
Well, the cat bothered me once. I fed the cat. The cat bothered me twice. I put the cat in the bathroom. The cat got out of the bathroom. Because my husband opened the door of the bathroom, I told my husband that I was trying to meditate here and to keep quiet. And, and then he let me alone for 3 minutes and then turned on the TV. And so then I went out on the front porch and I tried to meditate, and my neighbor started yelling curse words. So it's like,
jeez. And your question to me is?
Where do you find... No, it wasn't a question. You were asking for experiences.
Okay. Well, you just said, where do you find? So do you
where
have
do you find a peaceful spot when no one will leave you alone?
Well,
it's bound to happen because I'm going to have this baby in 4 months, and the baby won't understand.
Automobile.
If the cat won't stay in the bathroom, you can. You can go in the bathroom and do it. There's the car. The car actually can work out pretty nice. Just go in there and, you know, don't asphyxiate yourself in the garage or something. Yeah. But, you know, you can do that kind of stuff. But you have to find your routine and find out what's going to work for you, because and sometimes you have to train animals. Sometimes you have to train husbands, you know, and stuff like that. And say, hey, I'm serious about this. It's my homework. I'm trying to do something here. You know, that kind of stuff. Crack the whip. Use your feminine persuasion techniques. And if you get him to marry you, then you can, you know, get him to, you know, leave you alone for 20 minutes. Leave me alone. Look what happened last time. Volley. We hear that all the time. We'll get people call and say, can hypnosis help me with sleeplessness or trouble going to sleep? And I said, that is the easiest thing we work on. It's so easy. We're teaching seven path, and most people, I'll turn his mic, and they're gone, you know, because it interrupts the it does two things. It induces hypnosis, and if you're tired and you're in hypnosis, it's easy to fall asleep. And it also interrupts the process that keeps people awake.
Sorry,
it interrupts the process that keeps people awake, you know, thought following.
If you can believe this, it's actually giving me more energy. I mean, I just feel, wow, bubbly.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Yeah. So now I want you to watch all the different kinds of things that are going on. Dee?
I woke up again at like 2 in the morning, and when I did, I was like, okay, here we go. And zap, in no time, I was back asleep. And I mean, I stayed up. 2:00 to 4:30 the morning before, woke up with dark circles under my eyes.
I've had people say, you know, the first recognition was worth the price of the course. I mean, if you've had sleep problems, and just that first recognition, boom, and you got it for the rest of your life. I mean, it's yours. You can use it forever. Kim.
I didn't sleep so good. The other guy in the universe looks like he went up. I paid for it. I stayed up to study. I didn't work last night. I tried to do it. I don't know what it was. Like, I woke up about 5 this morning. I worked till about midnight last night. Then did the test. Grabbed 5 minutes. Took a shower. Came back. Tried to do it while I was going to sleep. It just wasn't quite gelling. Tried to do it this morning because I had a splitting headache. You know, I haven't done my meditation in a long time. And I don't do japa, so just got into meditation. Now I'll do this.
Okay, there's a couple words that I'm trying to understand here. So you said, I tried to do it. What part of saying the recognition and waiting for the echo were you unsuccessful with? And when that happens, you just say the recognition.
Go back to recognition, but sometimes it would kind of be the runaway train. And unrelated stuff is perfect.
Unrelated stuff is perfect.
Yeah.
As long as you follow it with the recognition.
But it's like a train of like a half dozen flowers.
Yeah.
Back to
so you're having trouble.
It's starting to keep me awake.
What was keeping you awake?
The process.
Well, it sounds like you weren't doing the process, and that was a problem, because you just do thought following. The process consists of this: recognition, echo, recognition, echo, recognition, echo. And then you just told me you weren't doing that, you just follow thoughts, and then you said the process was keeping me awake. So you weren't doing the process, so it couldn't be keeping you awake.
What was happening is that I would try and stay on point, which was starting to take effort. The thoughts would kind of cascade to me one after another before I could get a recognition. And I'd go back to the recognition.
Yeah, and I would, from what I'm hearing, I'd say that the process wasn't keeping you awake. It was not doing the process correctly that was keeping you awake. And you said start to take effort. Yes, it should always take effort. This is not an effortless thing. This requires some degree of focus, which will cause you to fall asleep because it'll fatigue the brain and you'll just go bonk out. There's another thing that you said, a word that I thought was interesting. You said, it wasn't gelling for me. What does gelling mean?
Can I say that?
Yeah. It just wasn't gelling. And I thought, what does that mean?
Solidifying.
What does that mean with regard to this process?
Brain was already fatigued when I was going to bed. It felt like, and I did it yesterday this morning. And
how do you know it was fine yesterday?
Because the process was rolling, things were rolling.
But what's rolling?
Through the recognition, echo, recognition,
okay.
Echo, and recognition, other echo, recognition, echo picture, recognition, echo picture.
Okay, perfect.
But sometimes a couple extra thoughts as you get recognition, echo. Mm-hmm. Last night, brain was already sitting with me, but just like, and I think it just went like, sank out, crashed. This morning, it was just like, my brain had already taken like the lead. And so I realized it's been like 4 days since I even did my regular meditation. I said, man, I'll do that first. I'll do the seventh path next. I did about 45 minutes.
Of what?
Start out with the feature, just went, stop that, just went through the seventh path wall. I kind of got myself in state because I couldn't get in state with the headache getting in the way.
But what state are you trying to get into?
I get into an auto-hypnotic state. Eyes closed.
How do you know if you're in an auto-hypnotic state? Okay. I'm really kind of drilling down on you and getting real particular, because people will judge their seven path experience on a whole bunch of criteria that's irrelevant. Okay? There's only one criteria upon which you should judge whether or not that session was good. And that is, during that session, were you saying the recognition and waiting for the echo? Saying the recognition, waiting for the echo. Everything else is irrelevant. Because if you try to judge depth of hypnosis, the person in hypnosis is the least qualified person to judge how deep they are. It's very difficult for people to judge how deep they are in hypnosis. And if you're saying, well, I want to be in trance is irrelevant to this. All we care about is if you're saying the recognition, echo. Recognition, echo. You say, oh, it was so beautiful. Ah, I felt so good. Irrelevant. Or you're saying the recognition, waiting for the echo. Recognition, waiting for the echo. I had a terrible headache, so I probably wasn't doing it right. Irrelevant. Were you saying the recognition, waiting for the echo. Recognition, waiting. If you do that, everything will be perfect. Your personal experience during the thing, whether it's pleasure or pain, focused or unfocused. If you say, man, my mind was all over the place, like the grasshopper, man, here and there, you know, I just couldn't have been doing it right. And I says, well, when it was over there, did you say the recognition? Then when it went over there, did you say the recognition? Yeah. I said, then that's perfect. So that's the way we're going to judge this. Were you saying the recognition, waiting for the echo? That's the only criteria. And did you do it for the time, minimum amount of time? Good.
I wanted to add that when I did the PM one, I didn't turn it down, the tingly feelings in my legs, that healing sensation, I continued. Not as strong, but continued.
Okay. And that's between you and your Delta. I'm not the therapist. I really have no comment about that. I said, you know, if that winds up being a healing, hallelujah. You know, my job is to make sure you're doing the technique right. If you do that, I believe that you and Delta can accomplish anything that needs to be accomplished. Okay. Good. Yes, John.
Sometimes I find it takes some willpower to stop the thought following.
Yes, it does.
Just to say, like, forget about, like, if there's something going on during the day.
Exactly.
Just to say, this is for me. happens for me and the rest of them.
You can still think all that stuff. Like, let's say you got an exam, right? And you might go to the exam. You know, what if I should do the exam now? Delta renews my life. Or if I should do it later? Delta renews my life. I wonder if that question I just guessed on is going to be good enough. Delta renews my life. You can still have all that other thinking. We're not trying to stop that thinking. We're just trying to put the recognition in between each thought.
That was the focus of trying to get that sucker in between each thought.
Yeah, and you just do the best you can.
Yeah, that's what I figured. This morning it felt good because I could really, no matter how quick they were coming, the recognition would go right in. And I was relaxed down the spine. The headache wasn't bothering me before. It was like dominating my processor or whatever it was until I got in the car. Until I got in the chair here.
You know, and I don't think I've ever done a perfect session where, you know, two thoughts didn't squeeze in somewhere together. Then I just don't. You know,
yeah.
That's going to happen. So my goal is to, as close as I can, yeah, to get that recognition in between each echo.
Yeah, I wasn't beating myself up. Like, all right, I'm going to try to do it again.
Michael, could you clarify for me, please, that when we have the echo, it comes, and how long do you entertain or look or feel or experience?
We're not in the entertainment business. It is however long the echo is. So, like, a thought is, yes, like a verbal, it's like a sentence, right?
Yes.
And it has a period. When you get to the period, then you say the recognition. If you have a memory, then memories are like little scenes from a play. You know, you walk up to your little brother when you're five, you punch him in the nose, and he goes, "Mom!" And then, you know, then Delta renews my life, you know, or whatever it is. A picture comes, and then you'll either have a thought about the picture or the picture will fade. If you have a thought about the picture, then you say the recognition.
That's what I've been doing, and I didn't know if it was exactly where it was. Now, when I was doing that this morning, like, for some reason my hand started hurting, and then I remembered Cal saying, "Speak to the hand," and I did.
Mm-hmm.
And I directed to
say the recognition. It, yeah, becomes a sending point. You say the recognition to the part of you that's calling for attention. Mark?
So what is the objective or are the objectives in reciting the first recognition?
Well, it will take you into hypnosis, and it will begin to empty your cup. Clean your clock. I mean, empty your clock. Okay. It's going to start neutralizing some stuff. And it begins to develop that working relationship with your Delta to renew your life. What does renew mean? It means to make new again. You know, it's to go back to that point before the crap got put in your cup. So decrapitization. And the next recognition is going to do that too. But in addition to just neutralizing stuff, it's also going to begin to start putting in some positive stuff. And then when you get to the fifth recognition, you can actually begin to give yourself specific suggestions for specific changes you want to make in your life. And motivation, confidence, you know, get that book written or whatever it is you want to do.
One of the nice side effects seems to be just greater acceptance of all that is, of all the thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
And it just becomes kind of peaceful.
You get to have your thoughts without judging them or evaluating them.
Right.
And you're just kind of the non-judging observer of everything that flows through your mind.
If I might add to that, not just of your thoughts, but I'm finding that the judgmental issue of others is less also.
That could be a very good side effect, yeah. It's going to be so fun. I can hardly wait to give you the next recognition.
How drastically could one's personality change from this?
It depends on how much your personality is being affected by the crap in your cup. You know, so if you've got this really, you know, vengeful, mean kind of personality, and it's because of a lot of negative programming, okay? And then we start neutralizing it, that's going to ease up. If you've got a very fearful personality, that's because of a lot of programming, or there's something wrong with you, you're not lovable, this kind of stuff, then as that stuff gets out, it's going to change your personality. But let me tell you what happens. You don't become someone you're not. You become who you really are, free of erroneous programming. And in every single case, everyone that's done this really liked who they found. Okay. So there's a happy ending.
I had issues with people who were talking about personality. Like, I always felt that that was like a nice set of clothes, or not so nice set of clothes that you got stuck with your foot on and got blessed with. And that you could change the shirt, you could change the tie, you could even change the underwear if you wanted to. And then I didn't realize I was talking to a group of psychologists and they had something on multiple personalities. And I started saying, well, who do you know that is the multiple personality? Are you a professional? Are you a dad? Are you this? Are you that? Do you act exactly the same way in all features and all roles in life? So, not really. So his personality is mutable. It's not who you are. It's just your...
And it's transmutable.
That's what I mean.
Good. Let me pick out some more people for share experiences. Akiko?
Yesterday I did sitting class. My energy comes up. I easily lose my concentration. But yesterday I enjoy my concentration. So... this morning, usually I sleep 10 hours a day, but this morning I slept 6 hours and I woke up, I felt so good. Yeah.
One of the things that happens is, like, let's say, you know, here is your sleep period, and this is like depth of sleep and this is time, right? Some people, it takes them a really long time to get any depth, and then they're kind of in and out of it like this. But when you use self-hypnosis to go into sleep, you tend to go into deep sleep quicker, you see? And then what happens, is there's this increase in quality sleep time, you see? So in the same period of time, you spend more time in deep sleep. And so when you get done, you are more refreshed than if you had done your normal sleep. So you might be able, like this represents how much you usually get. And this equals how much you get with the hypnosis, the two combined. So what can happen is, you might get this much sleep in this much time when you add the additional depth of sleep to it. You pretty much need calculus to figure that out. Okay. Anything else?
I'm so depressed.
You're so what?
I'm so depressed.
So...
Refreshed.
First I thought, I'm so depressed.
Regressed.
I said, good for you. All feelings are good, yeah. I can't even imagine. One thing that's good, I think we have people all over the world that are practicing this, and Seven Path teachers have permission to do their very best to translate the recognitions into their home language. And later on, we'll get some experts on them. But we do have some Japanese-speaking Seven Pathers. And if you're interested in learning to, working with someone else to get input on the translations, of the recognitions, and I can get you in touch with some people that do that.
It's not always easy to translate something from one language to another, especially the difference between Western culture and Asian cultures can be different in the way things are said. Okay, good.
So can we help people? I am thinking of someone in particular. Her client has had a double lung transplant that says her medication breaks her up at night. I mean, I'm thinking that this would be awesome for her because so far nothing has been done for her.
Okay. One of the things I firmly believe in is not believing clients. I mean, I would want, if someone did that, I'd say, okay, is that scientifically based? Is that something that you know
what
about
that?
What
she said that's what the doctors told me.
Okay.
I don't know.
Okay. Yeah, well, I'm just saying that's one of the first things I want to do is get a medical validation of that. And then what I would tell her is to try this, plus the rest you get when doing hypnosis, some people will say is equivalent to sleep, or sometimes better than sleep. And so if she's in bed and she should be sleeping, this will tend to put her to sleep. But if she's not and she's in the hypnotic state, then she's getting equivalent rest anyway. And then guess what? You know what's really good about hypnosis is it's the least invasive procedure, and that it cannot hurt. A change in medication could hurt. Yeah, it can make you sick, it can have side effects, it can even kill you. But hypnosis has never killed anybody.
And what I love about this is what I strive to do is help people be as empowered for themselves. So for me, 7-PAT is a way of empowering them to do for themselves.
Exactly. Good. Who else could I pick from? Lynn?
Yesterday, when we were in here, I had this constant to-do list, very panic and fear-filled experience. And so yesterday when I left, I took care of the main panic things, did some research, and then when I did this again, it was completely different. It was like a visual gratitude list of the people and things that are important to my life. Completely different. And I slept the night before. I'd been up, you know, restless from 2:30 to 5 and unable to sleep during that time. The rest of the night I slept extremely well.
Good. Yeah. A lot of people are really surprised by that. Yeah. Yeah, thank you. Gabriella. Is it Gabrielle or Gabriella?
It's Gabrielle.
Okay.
For me, I really didn't want to do it. I did it because...
Good for you.
Because I'm compliant. That's what I do.
Well, you're also courageous. You know, courage is not being afraid. It's being afraid or not wanting to do something and doing it anyway.
So I still, you know, I still certainly recognize resistance within myself. And so, you know, I'm all around the board. But maybe something significant, and I really don't want to go there, so I'll go somewhere else that's better and therefore not as emotional. So I go back and forth, you know, toggling between something emotional and then not wanting to go there and backing off and then going and backing off.
I want to tell you that with 7-PATH, you want to go there because, you know, it's like you finally got a way to neutralize that stuff. You finally got a way. And it's like physics. I mean, when you bring a negative and a positive together, they neutralize. And through the principles of resonance and dissonance, these recognitions are going to excite those, both the positive and the negative inside of us. When it excites the positive, it reinforces it. When it excites the negative, it's neutralizing it. And so, like, remember when I was doing this, you know, in the beginning, there's all these fireworks and stuff going on with, you know, ups and downs and emotions and, you know, pain and all this stuff. And then after a while, it kind of mellows out because you're doing a lot. Then once in a while, boom, something would happen. Oh, and it would find something it hadn't found before. It's like, aha, I gotcha. You know, and then start setting that recognition to that spot. So whenever you find a discomfort, there should be a part of it that goes, aha, I gotcha, you know. Resistance is futile. And you just, you know, like the ray gun, Deltarune is my life, Deltarune is my life, Deltarune is, and it's going, like the witch in the Wizard of Oz, you know, I'm melting.
You mentioned yesterday that perhaps in the past you have had the classes in Seventh Path where the men made their exit.
Mm-hmm.
Did they come back?
The ones that left for good.
Oh, they did. Well, we didn't lose anybody here, I don't believe.
Oh, we haven't gotten into the good stuff yet. It's usually these next two recognitions that kick guys butt.
Yeah. But how do you handle that in a group presentation if you're talking with someone? You just tell them outright, just like you did.
Tell them what outright?
That, you know, that we just might be stirring the pot and you may not like what's in the bottom.
Well, you know, it's welcome to come back. You know, if you can't take it.
No refund.
No refund. In fact, we charge you again if you leave. I've always thought about charging twice as much, and that if they stay through the class, we give them like half their money back to keep them here.
I found for myself that the dancing around or the resisting or whatever requires so much more energy than just going ahead and going, okay, you know, I'm going for it. So having had the experience of getting on the other side of it, you know, I'm like you, will welcome it most of the time. I still have my moments where I go, oops, no, not that one, you know. Mm-hmm. But after a while, I'll finally go, okay.
Well, once you knock out one or two of these things, then you build confidence of going, you know, finally, it's here, I'm ready, boom, and you go after it.
The energy it frees up for me is just like, oh, because it just takes too much to push it away.
Amy, so what was your practice session like? Sessions. Should have been three.
Well, when I went to sleep, it was like a few hours after I was asleep. I was able to do it. I did it in the evening. It was similar to the experience yesterday, but there's an issue I'm having with somebody, and that kind of kept coming up. The feeling that I was having about it, there was.
Say that sentence again.
Feelings came up that I wasn't aware of that I had.
Okay. Can you say the recognition? Wait for the echo. Recognition. Wait for the echo.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty
easy. I was listening to a CD on the way to work that I listened to from a set that I listen to all the time, and they were talking about something that was done by NASA, and what's interesting is people say, how long should I do this before I evaluate it? So how long, I mean, should I do it a week and decide if I want to keep going? And I say, you should really do this if you want to evaluate what it's going to do for you, 4 to 6 weeks. 4 to 6 weeks every stinking day. Every day. 3 times a day. After you've really accomplished most of what you want to accomplish, you can go into what we call maintenance mode, which is one time during the day and then when you go to sleep at night. And that's where I'm at now. Usually in the morning, get up, like I said, go to the bathroom, feed the cats, sit in my big chair, and do it. Because mornings are more structured, you never know what's going to be going on in the afternoon, at least in my life. But in the beginning, you say 4 to 6 weeks, 3 times a day, okay, and build up to that 20 minutes. And then I was reading about this NASA experiment. I'm listening to the CD that talked about this NASA experiment. And what they did is they wanted to find out what the disorientation of space would be like for people. So they concocted these glasses that you put them on, and they made the whole world look upside down. Imagine how discombobulating that would be. You know, you want to reach for something over there, and you go. You want to reach for something down there, and you go. And so, and the interesting thing was, these astronauts wore them, and they had to wear them 24 hours a day, showering, sleeping, so that the brain always, if the eyes were open, saw the world upside down. There was a number of people going through this experiment, and in every case, somewhere between the date 25 and 30, the brain switched it around, and they began to see the world right side up. So it takes about 30 days to rewire the brain. Consistent daily effort. Now, what they did with, after they found that out, they ran another experiment, and with half of the group, on day 15, they had the people take the goggles off for one day, then put them back on. One day of not doing it, and they started over. It still took an additional 25 to 30 days to get that effect. So it takes 30 days of the same input over and over again to rewire the brain.
So how about after they took the glasses off? How long did it take to come back?
I think that it didn't take very long to go back. That's why we want to go into a maintenance period with this. A lot of people say, you know, we followed many people who've done 7-PATH. And they go, you know, it changed my life. I was doing so good, did maintenance for a while. Everything was great, and I quit. Mm-hmm. And then they'll say, you know, and then after a while, things started not going so good again. And I didn't really realize it, probably 25 to 30 days, right? And so they say, you know, I don't notice so much difference now when I do it, but I notice a difference after a while when I stop doing it. And so what happens is the world keeps putting stuff in your cup until it hits some critical level. And so you want to stay in that maintenance mode. I mean, you don't buy a set of dishes and then wash them once. I mean, if you're going to use them throughout your life, you end up washing them over and over again. So there's some, you know, hopefully you've brushed your teeth more than, you know, once. And it just takes some daily maintenance to keep things, you know, fresh and working properly. Anyone else like to share? How about you, Fosky?
Well, I couldn't do the evening session because, you know, I'm 9 hours later the plan. And I said, okay, if it was about 7 p.m. and I said, if I do the reformation, I would fall asleep and I want to stay for time. Just put the time on.
5 minutes? So you couldn't do 5 minutes?
No, you know, at 7 o'clock it was probably 4 a.m.
Sit up in a chair and do it for 5 minutes? Oh, now, if I was going to pay you $10,000 an hour, a minute, could you have done it?
I would try, but...
It didn't seem important enough to try, okay? $10,000 a minute, it's a different story.
Not as much as become the right time, only because, you know, all the tweets are going to be...
I know, but yesterday everybody nodded their head when they made an agreement with me. I said, we do this 3 times a day, right? Everybody did this. And so what you do, because there's always, you're going to find out your students do the same thing. And if there's a will, there's a way. I think it was Thomas Jefferson that invented the one-legged stool. Ever heard of the one-legged stool? They had this problem with guards sitting down and falling asleep. And so what he did is he made the one-legged stool. And so it's a stool with one leg. And you sit on it. And if you start to fall asleep, you're going to wake up or you're going to fall over.
Okay?
And so the minimum was 5 minutes. And you can sit there. I mean, I know what jet lag is. I mean, I go to London, I go to Singapore. You know, I go to New York and stuff like that. I know what it's like. 5 minutes. So, you know, when you... 5 minutes. 5 minutes, you sit there. You don't have to put your feet up. You don't have to lay down. But you do something. You get in a safe, comfortable position where you can close your eyes for a few minutes and do that. And so I'd like you to recommit to doing it 3 times a day.
I can't do it. You know, yesterday, I didn't put my feet here because I will fall asleep here, you know. 9 hours, and if I take 5 minutes, I will fall asleep. And then I will miss the 7-PATH, and tomorrow the clock.
You know, that's just not true.
It's true.
Okay.
No.
Wait, it's just not
true.
I know some stuff you don't know. I know some stuff you don't know. Come here.
because you really fall when you fall asleep. Okay? It's a matter of determination. Because you're not going to, it's a matter of determination. You're telling me that you would fall asleep on that and miss out on the class?
But tomorrow, I will fall asleep.
If you're...
No, I know what you mean.
Well, you're trying to keep your sleep cycle.
Yeah. Well, what I'm trying is to have the same time as you, just to...
Well, no, your position to me was, I could not do this, because if I did it, I would fall asleep.
No, I will not fall asleep back. I will not go into classes because I should be.
Well, let me ask you something. Are you able to sit there like that and sleep for any period of time?
If I stay some time with the eyes closed, stay like this.
Okay. How about if in the other position we had your feet on the ground and just sitting like that? Could you sleep like that for any kind of dangerous period of time where you'd screw up your day? Probably not. You probably would fall, right? And so why couldn't you do it like that? Just 5 minutes.
Now I could do it because I'm in front of you.
Tomorrow could you do it?
I did the evening one. Before going to sleep, I didn't handle the first situation. I said,
okay, Fausti, could you? I know, tired. So, could you do that for 5 minutes tomorrow at the time you said you were afraid you would fall asleep?
Yes, I think so.
I think you could too.
Once I know that I'm ready to do this, I mean.
So you're not ready to do it. Well, I'm trying to make a point here, because the thing is. You said you could not do it without falling asleep. And I'm saying, you're either not motivated enough or you're not creative enough. Because there's a situation that I said, I know something you don't know. And I said, here's a situation where I think you could sit in a safe, comfortable position without falling asleep for 5 minutes.
Yes.
And you just agreed with me.
Yes, but I could lie to you and say, I did it.
Okay, that's off track. That's irrelevant. The relevancy is, I'm trying to teach... I'm trying... No. Okay, yes, you could lie to me, and I realize you didn't lie to me, but I'm trying to make a point here. Now, so if you... So you... Can we say now, with what we know now, that you could sit and do it for 5 minutes?
I will try. Are you going to stand in that? But you know, I did it. Evening, in the morning at 2 o'clock, at 4:30, because I was asleep. I'm awake. It's not the time you recommend, but it's where I was awake. No, 2 a.m.
Okay, you see, this isn't about you, Fausti. This isn't about you. This is about learning about seven paths, and I'm using people's experiences and situations to make a point. It really doesn't matter to me personally if you do this or not ever. So this isn't about me trying to get you to do this. I'm trying to teach a class a point. And the point is, people will say, I couldn't do it because I was tired. Well, you made an agreement with me that you'd do this 3 times. And so it's not about couldn't. It's about wouldn't. And so... Because you could sit on the edge of a stool or on the edge of a table and do it. Because if you fell asleep, you'd wake up. And there's another point that I'm trying to get to here that you keep swaying over to, well, I did this and I didn't lie to you because I'm trying, which is all irrelevant. This isn't about you. I'm trying to make some points about seven path. And that was, you were starting to talk about... not being able to go into hypnosis.
I'm not tired. My body isn't working well. But I'm quite upset. You know?
Okay.
But I did it. Not it was evening here, but maybe for me it was 2:30, then 2 a.m., and 4:30 a.m. So it's maybe more than I need to do, but it's not as big as it was planned.
Okay, but you said I couldn't do it because I wouldn't go into hypnosis.
Not really falsely.
Okay. And so we put you in a position where you're very unlikely to fall asleep. So if you did that, do you think you could stay awake for 5 minutes and say the recognition and wait for the echo?
Yes, but I think the recognitions will work better if I can. But at least in the echo, at least.
Okay, yes. You said yes. So that's the point. The point here is stop worrying about hypnosis. The more you are concerned about the hypnosis, I can't do it because I'll fall asleep and then I won't go into hypnosis. Stop it. Do it for 5 minutes, irregardless of anything, except for fire, you know, stuff like that. Don't worry about falling asleep, okay? Do your very best to get in a position where you won't fall asleep, and then do it. And don't worry about depth of hypnosis. You only worry about one thing. Doing the technique properly. Recognition, echo. Recognition, echo. And that's why I'm carrying this as far as I am, okay? Is because if I let it go, it would sound like, oh, if you're too tired, don't do this. That's wrong. If you got jet lag, don't do this. That's wrong. If I make a commitment to do something, but then I don't feel like it, or I'm tired, or I'm afraid I won't go into hypnosis, I won't do it. That's wrong. Minimum 5 minutes. If you fall asleep, then you know you fell asleep. But you do everything you can to get yourself in a position where you won't.
I
know you do.
No intention to.
You know, there's nothing you said that I don't believe. I'm just saying I know some stuff you don't know, and I've seen so many people solve these problems over the years, that I'm trying to pass that on to you. And as I pass it on to you, I pass it on to the whole class, because guess what? Your students are going to say, oh, I tried, but I couldn't. And I say, okay, what part of saying the recognition and waiting for the echo couldn't you do? I was afraid I was going to fall asleep. Well, it's only 5 minutes. Do it and see if you fall asleep. If you're in a situation where you think it might cause you to fall asleep, like putting your feet up and laying back, then don't. Go get yourself a one-legged stool. You know, do whatever it takes.
Or a partner.
Or what?
Or a partner.
Or a partner?
Yeah, somebody that will, you know, be in the next room or call you on the phone.
Okay. Yeah. See, that's what I'm trying to do, is get that information across. Yes, Sue?
Well, my conflict is that I'm the kind of person who, that was so uncomfortable for me. I love Faust. And for someone who is teaching a path that is going to bring us calmness and love and a peaceful way to exist, it's a conflict for me for you to put him on the spot. And I feel, you know, maybe I feel worse than he does, but I can't make sense out of that.
You will. You will.
But it bothers me so much that I'm afraid I'm not going to do it because it bothers me so much.
Well, Sue, you're very much free not to do this and to run from it.
I don't want to run from it. I want to do it.
Well, you can run from me. The thing is, this feeling you're having right now is more about you than about us.
Yeah.
And this is not the first time you felt this way in situations like this.
No.
You're resonating. Okay. And this happens in this class all the time. And what I practice a path that's called ruthless compassion. And that is, I'm going to, and you know, there was no anger in what I was doing. There was no meanness. I was just being clear over and over and not letting him take me off track. Like I said, well, I could have lied to you. Well, that's off track. That's got nothing to do with what we're talking about.
But I think
about.
There was humiliation. I don't like to see people.
Okay. Okay. Well, if I hurt Fausti, I hope he forgives me. but I don't feel any guilt in what I did.
And because I know that's between you.
Well, the thing is, you ain't seen nothing yet. The way you're feeling, there's going to be people in this class going to feel a lot worse than that, probably before the week is over. Because we're stirring stuff up. We're stirring stuff up. And you're going to see that I'm going to be very clear about things. And very logical about things. But I'm not going to be purposefully hurting someone. But if it helps to say, get out of your chair, go sit over there, and tell me. You know, let's look at the logic of what you just said. I'm going to do it. And there's going to be one or two or three people in here get angry with me. But usually if they stay, by the end they hug me and say thank you. Because this, though being a tough experience, was one of the most incredible growth experiences of my life. See? And so let it out. Let it out. I'm completely at peace with what happened here, and I'm perfectly at peace at you feeling the way you're feeling. And this isn't a path of peace. This is a path to being who you really are, living in a realistic, well-reflecting now. Trying to be without the baggage and being who you really are. Some people in their nature are going to be more passive. Some people are going to be more more aggressive. But in the way that some animals are more aggressive and some more passive by breeding. Okay? And that's okay. But we don't want to be passive or aggressive because of erroneous baggage that we're carrying around. So, just hang in there. The fireworks are just beginning. Just beginning. So, all right. Are we okay?
Yes.
And also, there's sometimes some language problems too, you know. So. I love my job. Okay, what we're going to do is we're going to take a 10-minute break, because when we get back, we're going to get the second recognition. And for many of you, it's going to be a very memorable experience. Go. You are all my prisoners. I'd love to have this in the prisons. I've had several people who work in the prison say, I'm going to bring this into the prison. But it would have to be done on a way that people earn the right to learn this stuff. Because people only value what they put time, money, effort into. And usually in environments like that, you earn privileges and things like that through proper behavior. And people who've earned a certain level of whatever. Yeah, then they could learn this stuff. But it would do a lot for recidivism. Okay. Do you know anything about the prison system?
Not here, but I just know I've watched something about Pasna, the prisons in India,
I'm looking at your secret feelings going, this is what kids need to know. Yeah. So we all should have learned by the time we got out of the fifth grade.
That didn't come from there, but that's where you found it. Mm-hmm. That was quite too neat.
It's rocking and rolling already.
Oh,
has been meeting folks online.
Mm-hmm.
And she finds a lot of people who will sort of come with that and score that.
Yeah, it's a problem in the psychological differences between the fantasy world and your reality world. And a lot of people are afraid to take that leap into bringing a fantasy world into reality. For one, because they don't think that it will be as good as it is in their brain. Two, they're afraid of what if it is as good as it's in my brain. And three is it just won't work. Like, that's not my life. That's not really me. Even though it is there, and they're just trying to repress it, and they're not going to be left. So,
thank you.
A lot of different issues.
That's
so, like,
that's
if you're doing,
gift,
like,
but it's a nice question.
That's what you're saying for, okay?
It's probably coming.
About 70%
it is an issue.
I realize when that's
going
to
happen. And then they cancel. Or no.
I'm just really like, okay,
so
I think
even like the pros and whatnot that do this,
and then
they have to book
the process
every single day
a
week,
it's gonna be
and then hope maybe two will show up. You don't make a lot of money, you know, but if you're, if you get regular steady clients, you do. But, you know, the amount of no-shows and all that, because of that difference between fantasy and reality, or that these people have never done this in reality, you have more of a base of, if you have done it in reality, then you're more likely to do it in reality. But if that's a difference between fantasy and reality, you can almost count that no one will do it.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
Like, it's if people want to make more money, you know, because I also teach a prosperity management class. If people want to make more money, they have to change their habits. A lot of people don't want to change their habits because they like going out to lunch. You know, they like going out to dinner every other night. You know, they don't want to take the steps to save the money or make more money or ask their boss for a raise. You know, because they're too afraid of their boss to ask for a raise. So.
So on the prosperity stuff, do you teach like millionaire mindset or what is
it? I teach practical stuff, and then I also teach radical stuff. So it goes along with, well, by the end of class, you have a focus on, you know, it's
I'm not saying this works. Apparently there is some crying in baseball.
There's some what?
There is crying in baseball.
Have a little respect
for them. Yes, there is.
It really didn't work this morning, but I came out of it and started bawling.
Oh, good.
Embrace it all.
I want the game again.
And then you try to get your brain.
Exactly.
Everybody hugs Cal. I love my job.
You know, for he needed. We like your job consciousness because your subconscious is actually working on the problem. But you're seeing this bottle with a dollar bill in it and saying, okay, well, that means money. That means money. And then you look at it and think of your goal that you want.
Yeah.
And sooner or later, you are in your mundane world. You will start to align yourself with that goal.
Now,
so that's really all magic is.
I
will
listen to $10 million.
Exactly. Jim Carrey wrote a check out to himself, later cashed, and so did George Burns when he was with Gracie. It's all these little tiny tricks, golden dots. $40-60 in that little treasure box. You know, you're just putting all those things that you don't need, and then God comes and gets them.
Thank
you. Okay, you need the ball now.
This is like Yesterday and today is my favorite day. I want to make sure that all of you, either on the last page of the Seven Path booklet, if you have it with, or on a piece of paper where you can peek, you write down, Delta renews my life. In case you need, because suddenly it will just disappear out of your head, and then you got nothing to do for a while. Please get yourself in a safe, comfortable position where you can close your eyes for a few minutes. And I'm going to let you cook on these recognitions a little bit. Check, check. We're going to spend longer than 5 minutes on these recognitions, ladies and gentlemen, because we want to give you time to get experienced. Today's Thursday, right?
Yes.
Yes, the 12th. Tomorrow's the big day,
13th. Oh, it is.
I always try to schedule a class on Friday the 13th if I can. It just seems to have some kind of poetic justice to it or something. What's that?
Especially for Templar Knight reincarnated, that's what Friday the 13th came from. That was a huge sealed letters to assassinate all the Knights of Templar on Friday the 13th.
Templar?
Yeah.
That was in France.
When you're ready, begin. Thank you.
voluntarily lose my life. You are now ready to receive the full version of the first recognition. As I say it out loud, say it silently to yourself, using your delta word. Delta renews my life, mentally, physically, emotionally. Gently, your attention returns to the sound of my voice. You are now ready to receive the full first recognition. As I say it out loud, say it silently within yourself, using your delta word. Delta renews my life, mentally, physically, emotionally. Delta renews my life, mentally, physically, emotionally. Delta renews my life. Mentally, physically, emotionally. Delta renews my life mentally. Physically, emotionally. Delta renews my life. Mentally, physically, emotionally. I will say it three more times, then continue on your own. Delta renews my life mentally, physically, emotionally. Delta renews my life mentally, physically, emotionally. And now continue on your own. Delta renews my life mentally, physically, emotionally. gently renews my life, mentally, physically, emotionally. Gently, your attention returns to the sound of my voice. You are now ready to receive the short version of the second recognition. And now, I'd like you to use the abilities that you have, which are made even more useful in hypnosis. The power to focus on my words, the power to think about or imagine what I suggest to you, and the ability to instantly become aware of any feeling or sensation that I suggest to you. For example, the feeling of the air going in and out of your lungs. Just let yourself go deeper with every gentle breath that you exhale. And now I'd like you to imagine or pretend, if that works for you, that you are now with the child that you once were
so many years ago. Pretend for a moment that you are with that little one that you once were as a child, sometime before the age of 12. Let it be as if there were two of you, the grown-up you and the little one that you once were. Recognize that if you had a little one like that in your life right now, that you could love that little one. That little one that you once were. Notice how the little one is completely lovable. And if someone tried to make you think otherwise, you would know and recognize that they were simply mistaken, because there is nothing wrong with the little one. Now, just be there with the little one for a few moments as I continue to speak. As I do, the little one may become younger, even much younger, because now I'm talking about the little one that you were before that child was ever afraid or angry or insecure in any way. The little one is now becoming the little one that you once were, when all you knew was safety and security. The little one is becoming so small and so young that it is now a time in the little one's life in which there is only the expectation to be loved. For some people, this is when they were 5 years old. For other people, 2 years old. For some people, 1 year old. Or maybe only 1 month old. Or week old. For some people, we're talking about the very first day of life on this planet. Now the little one is so small, it is a time in the little one's life when all there is the expectation to be loved and feelings of safety and security. Now you are with that little one. Notice how completely lovable the little one is. The little one was created completely lovable. The little one was created completely lovable. The little one is not lovable because of how beautiful the child is, or because of what the child does, or because of gender, or any other thing. The little one is lovable because the little one was created that way. Lovable. Now for a moment, just be there with that lovable little one that you were so long ago. And now you become aware that there is a love inside of you that can go into that little one. Let that happen now. Let that love flow from inside of you into the little one. And notice how wonderful that feels. Notice how easily the little one accepts your love. Now, silently, just between the two of you, tell the little one, "I love you," 3 times, slowly. And as you do that, the little one trusts you and believes you then the little one becomes so small, like a little doll that could sit in the palm of your hand. And now the little one goes right inside of you, to the center of you, where the little one can always feel safe and secure and always feel your love. The little one feels at home in there, and you feel like you're carrying something special inside of you. Because you are. You see, in an interesting way, people are like trees. If you've ever seen the inside of a tree, you will find that the tree is made up of rings. Over time, each year, during the life of the tree, a new ring is added to the outside of the tree. The outside of the tree may look rough or strong, but at the very center of the tree is the first ring, the center ring. This is the tree's sapling that the tree once was. The tree as it was during its first year of life, it's still there inside of every tree. The center ring is like the tree's little one. So, the little one inside of you is like your center ring. There's no separation between you two. You are one person. All of the good things that were true about the little one are true about you. Because you are the little one, and the little one is you. The little one is you in your past. You are literally the little one's future. The little one now. So, you were created always lovable. You were created always lovable. You were created always lovable. You are not lovable because of what you do, or what you wear, or what you say, or whether or not someone else agrees with you or likes you. You are not lovable because of what you have, or have accomplished, or because of what you want, or because someone else says that you are lovable. You are lovable because you were created that way. Now it is time for you to receive the second recognition. It is time for you to recognize the truth about you. Here is the second recognition. As I say it out loud, say it silently to yourself, using your delta word. Delta made me always lovable. Delta made me always lovable. Delta made me always lovable. This recognition is easily acceptable to the little one who is at the very center of you. And so it goes into you easily at the center point. The recognition is like a small pebble dropped into a pond, easily sinking down deeply into it, and then sending ripples out in all directions towards the edges of the pond. And so it is with you, each time you say, Delta made me always lovable to yourself, it goes into you, at the very center of you, deeply into you. And then that truth ripples out through every part of you, mind, body, emotions, colliding with and pushing out erroneous programming to the contrary, making you more aware of who you really are. As I say it out loud, continue to repeat it to yourself, each time focusing inside of you, with your point of attention on the center of you, the place where you put the little one. When you do this recognition, you send it right into that center point. Repeating silently to yourself as I say it out loud. Delta made me always lovable. Delta made me always lovable. Delta made me always lovable. That's right. No matter what they have said, no matter what they may have done, no matter what you have said, no matter what you have done, Delta made you always lovable. I'll repeat it three more times. Then continue on your own in the same way as you did with the first recognition, allowing your mind, body, and emotions to echo after each time that you say it to yourself. Delta made me always lovable. Delta made me always lovable. Continue on your own with Delta made me always lovable.
me be always lovable. Delta me always lovable. felt of me always lovable. Delta made me always lovable. Thank you. Delta me, always lovable. Your attention returns to the sound of my voice. You are in a state of personal transformation. You are renewing your life mentally, physically, emotionally, and recognizing that you are always lovable. No matter what they've said, no matter what they've done, no matter what you've said, no matter what you've done. Now slowly, comfortably, at your own rate, emerge.
that was 5 minutes on the short form of one, 5 minutes on the long form of one, and 20 minutes on the second recognition in the short form. Ah. Why don't you take a quick little restroom break? Real quick, because we'll be breaking for lunch shortly. So if someone's got to go, go. If you got to stretch, stretch. We'll come back and talk about the experience. How many classes give you nap time during the day?
Yeah, nice.
The lights.
Made the rabbit dash to the restroom.
Try to adjust the system and they actually turn it off so we didn't have any cooling going on. So it'll get a little bit cooler in here. Did you enjoy that? Very short. As soon as I get people back in here, because we've got to discuss this before we go to lunch.
Okay. That's cool. Just need some water. My neck is still a little bit.
doing, Kim?
I'm getting you a little something.
You're getting all blissed out on us, huh?
You're getting a big
one.
Don't waste your money.
It won't be a waste. Cool. It'll be
a little fun. Okay. All right.
Kim?
Okay.
Salmon kebab?
You're on.
Steamed vegetables?
You're on. I saw spanish and mass quantities of food. I haven't eaten much.
Where is that?
Well, that's down at the cafe.
Food court.
Food court.
Oh, really?
Court, food court, no?
We ran past it this way. It's not that far from the hotel.
You ran past it?
Well, I think, right, by the panda thing. Is that it?
Right.
That's where we went.
Down there by the Sam's Club.
Where's the best salad within striking distance of Ottawa?
I had a good salad at Breadbasket.
What is it?
Close, very close.
Breadbasket?
Yeah. Is that, well, this just had an okay salad.
The salmon sounds
good. All right, let's commence with what we got. Who wants to go first and tell me all about it? Kim?
Well, it developed a cadence of like a column response or a curtain where the, where the recognition called out, the response came, the recognition called out, the response came, the recognition called out, back, and it just kept going round. And finally, some of the thoughts were a little more, got to be more than like a couple of sentences, but then there was a call, recognition would call out. And it was just like, huh?
Yeah.
Few drugs.
Yeah. There's a lot of people that are spending time in prison right now that feel as good as you do because of drug use and stuff like that. That you can experience euphoria and bliss and all these kinds of things. Not necessarily so.
I understand that. I'm going to try and drive it. That's what can drive me. Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about the
concept. It did come up, but it was still call and response. We couldn't think the results definitely were hurt, but it was call and response. And there was even a, like a, yeah. Well, you know, what about the times when they didn't? Maybe they didn't even know it. Back to the recognition. That was it. You have almost a little tiny short for the answer before the recognition came out. So, but you still felt blissful.
Wonderful. Okay. Any questions for me? Yeah.
Oh, excuse me. I was having a couple. It seemed the last one seemed to change a little bit. Delta makes me. Delta has made me. Sometimes it would get confused.
Can you do me a favor, Kiko? Will you ask Nina to come back? Because I forgot to get her. I was going to get her before we start sharing, so that if our video people off-site want to ask a question. Yeah, I'm sorry. I wanted to grab her while she was still walking.
I understand. So, listen. Delta has made me always level, or Delta makes me always. There's different tenses going on.
Yeah, and those are all wrong.
Yeah.
It's okay if those are echoes.
Yeah.
You go, Delta made me always lovable. And then you have the echo. Yeah, Delta makes me always lovable.
Yeah.
But we don't want to confuse the echo with the recognition.
I think part of me was confused with that, and the other part was.
Okay. Good. Thank you very much. Next.
Question. I didn't anticipate this, but I had something physical happen on my leg to the point where I opened my eyes to look to see if someone was touching me.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just a really heavy, odd feeling that went from my knee down to my ankle on my left shin. And it was kind of remarkable because it made me open my eyes because I thought someone was taking, it didn't hurt, but I thought someone was taking a pen and going like that.
What was the emotional component of that experience?
I'm not sure I know, but I know that I spent a lot of time crying
before, you know, as we started through the first thing, and kind of be thinking about how I had felt about, you know, why do I always have to feel what I think is other people's discomfort when it probably really isn't. So I cried for a long time when we first started it, and then that kind of stopped, and then I felt that. So maybe that was some of that coming out. I hope so.
Let me ask you about that feeling, the sensation. Was that sensation familiar or new?
It was new.
Okay. Now you hear me? There's some things I'm saying that I will say over and over again. I'll say, what was the emotional component of that experience? Because people will tell you about what happened, and you can completely misunderstand it unless you find out how they respond to it emotionally. Someone might say, oh, man, I just dove off this rock and fell for like 100 miles. And you might think in your mind, oh, that's scary, and think that's what they have. But then we say, what was your emotional experience, that component of that experience? They go, oh, it was the most freeing, lovely, beautiful experience I ever have. So I'll always be looking at the cognitive, emotional. The other thing I will do is if they talk about emotions or sensations, let's say familiar or new. You'll see this is component work we do in age regression too. And you said that it was new. And so what that I would respond with is that usually indicates that you are experiencing an adjustment. Something is being adjusted. Something has changed in you now. And see, she's kind of resonating with that. Yeah, that fits, you see. So while we're doing this, I'm modeling the 7-path teacher / facilitator's role. Good. Anything else you'd like to share?
No.
How do you feel now?
Good. A lot better.
Tell me about that. Better in what way?
I was a little bit afraid that I was going to sit here and cry all day long, you know, and now I feel like that's kind of gone. I think it came out my leg.
See, I was pulling your leg after all. This, all human emotions are short-lived when expressed or fully expressed. It's the holding them back that keeps them coming. Has anyone here ever heard of sourdough bread?
Yeah.
Sourdough bread, for those of you who don't know, what they do is they let a bread kind of ferment and it gets a soury taste. It takes a long time to do that, and you have to be very careful about it and all this stuff. So, what some fabulous cook somewhere, a baker actually, along the way figured out that what we should do is after we've got some bread fermented just right, we should take a little piece of it and hang on to it for next time. So what they do is they bake the rest of it, and then when they need to make sourdough bread again, they'll make the fresh bread and then mix the sourdough back into it, and now it will sour much more quickly, much more reliably. That's what happens when we only partially express our emotions. We let it all out, but someone says, there, 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 and tries to make you feel better and makes you suck it back in.
Yeah.
It's like sourdough bread. You still got this little chunk. And then, very quickly, it'll start building back up again, see? And so, the 7-path is not about, you know, peace and tranquility by being tough or whatever, or doing the polite thing. It's about letting it out. It's about, you know, saying like it is, feeling it like it is. And you'll find that in that environment, healings happen, changes happen like that. Thank you. Any questions for me? You actually look different, kind of.
Sure. Yeah, more curly hair.
Sparklier or something like that.
I feel a lot better.
Okay. Next. Bobby?
I was physically, I didn't position my chair right, and I was physically uncomfortable.
I had difficulty following you. Should I have gotten
up and just adjusted myself?
What part of the exercise was difficult to follow?
Especially the guidance through the child. Okay. I mean, I heard everything. I was hearing everything you said, but
I wasn't into it.
What's into it mean?
Into it, well, I couldn't feel, I couldn't relate or feel the child very much. And I kept, my distraction kept going to my leg hurting.
Yeah, if I were you, I would have just, see, the one instruction is to get into a safe, comfortable position. That's one thing nice about this. You don't have to be able to do the lotus position. You don't need to do, you know, all you got to do is get into a position that's comfortable for you. And if it means laying down on the floor, fine. If it means rolling up in a, you know, like a fetus position, fine. Because we don't, you know, as long as we don't get so comfortable we fall asleep, you know. Like I can't recline when I do this or I'll knock out. But yeah, but you are kind of in a difficult situation because I'm reading the script to you. You want to participate in it, but so you don't want to really start fussing around with your chair and stuff. Yeah. Well, one of the things that's going on though is your subconscious mind has heard it. What? Heard it. You see, and this is actually akin to installing the software. See, everything you experience is stored in the subconscious mind. It knows what we just did. And so it's going to be able to use this experience. A lot of people, I'll find, particularly if I have someone, who has a particularly high position in their mind relative to everybody else. Like, for example, if I go into a counseling center and teach as a counseling center, and the boss of the counselors are there. Guess what? That person is not going to get as much out of the experience as everyone else because he's kind of guarded, he's got his place to be. Then what happens is later on his own, after class, that's where the stuff happens. So why am I saying that? I'm saying the information's in there. You don't have to worry about it. Okay? A physician, often if I have a physician in the class, the doctor will not have the experiences in the class. He or she will go to their room and then have it. Because in the mind of the physician, okay, there's a difference in relationship. They're going to see themselves as, not everybody's that way, but that's what I've experienced so far. If someone sees themselves as here and you hear, you know, you're like patients and he's like doctor or she.
A little hot.
I don't know. Yeah, or you know, if the supervisor's here with the counselors, it's the same thing. So what I know is the information's in there. Your subconscious mind will be able to work with it.
So then, can I go back to that room? I mean, the child, the age of the child, it could change for me since the experience wasn't...
It is done.
It's done.
It's done. Don't worry about the child anymore. What I did is I made a connection in your nervous system. Human beings are like trees.
You should sell slices of that. That would be nice. I'm seriously thinking of finding.
So you think about all the different layers, right? What I did in your mind is I made a connection between here and whatever layer is the pristine, undamaged layer. The part that says, I expect to be loved. I am safe.
And,
okay. Yeah, the connection's been made because the idea is in there. Just let it go. And then whatever the pristine layer is, that's been made. Now, every time you say the recognition, it is like a small pebble dropped into the center of a pond, sending out ripples in every direction. Once the concept is there, it now can work with it. The software has been put in place. Now what your job is in your mind, okay, when you say this recognition, is to send it into the center of you with the intent of sending it to the part of you, whether you've ever found it or not, that is undamaged by criticism and things like that. Delta made me always love it. You send it into that place, it will accept it. And then that sends ripples out to the edges of the pond. See, so this is both a tree and a pond. Are you done yet? Anything else to share?
I have
tell me a little bit about what it was like for you today.
One thing I noticed is how I'm still trying to train my mind to do the, to not interrupt my senses.
Ah.
Not to not use the recognitions like the ones that are still in mind.
That's right.
So I'm just still trying to get with that.
Yeah, that's, and it's a challenge. It's a whole different thing. One of my problems was I had, when I first started doing this, the form of meditation I had done most was working with the breath, saying the mantra on the breath. It was totally wrong for this, because the breath may or may not coincide with the with the echo, you see? And so that I just, what I had to do, the way I got over that, was I started saying the recognition very slowly. So I'd have to breathe out of time with the recognition. And so I could break that association. So you might, you go find just some way and let the thought happen and say the recognition. And it's funny. It's easier if you've never done any meditation or any hypnosis at all, because we tend to want to fall into that old rut.
Much of yesterday and today's in-class experiences have to do with the wish I had before I came here. And when I read your seventh path booklet before coming here, that's what I'm looking for.
Yep.
And my wish on the first day, as you all know, has something to do with my personal goal. It's to stand on my own two feet. So I, that's why I foundation and stuff like this. I've been taking care of my but the notice, I noticed today also sensation here where I know I keep blockage here for my will, and then also that been like really stressed last many weeks that my shoulders actually emit an odor, you know, the stress of everything, they emit an odor that even 2 years, 2 hours after I scrubbed and showered, they smell. And if I just wash only my shoulders, the smell is deep, you know, goes down. And there was, you know, so we're doing the full
first recognition of full form.
The full form, then there's movement in my shoulders.
Mm-hmm.
And I also, when you asked us in the guidance, that I had difficulty choosing which adult I was. I couldn't get it to just, it didn't just come from joining. And I couldn't, because I don't know exactly why, but because I wasn't an adult. I had difficulty seeing love.
One of the things, let me tell you, is that the first five recognitions are given out on these CDs. And if you want to be a teacher and really teach this course, pick up this set. Plus, if you want to re-receive the recognitions, you can either get with any one of your classmates who will have a script and can take you through it, or it's here on the CDs, the first five recognitions. You can just, it's a recording of me doing a class, and it's all right there. Thank you. Michael?
Did you open something when we, because I could smell a very strong, but not potent fragrance. Did you have a candle on or something?
No, but I had a snack. I had a little snack bar. A little healthy snack bar. I just want to make sure you're awake. Was it lemon?
I have no idea.
Was it chocolate?
No.
Or was it caramel?
I don't know. I really don't know. I just, it was an interesting color. And I didn't know if it was something that was there.
It might have been Bully's shoulders.
It was.
I was dr-
dreaming of a hot fudge brownie sundae and my stomach started rumbling, so I thought I'd save you. Tell us about your experience.
Well, that was it. In the beginning, I began to get a little bit teary-eyed. And I find that it works very well when I concentrate and actually drive the recognition with emotion. In other words, I don't say something like God is, or whatever you like to use for your delta, loves me. I go, God loves me. That type of thing. I don't get involved.
Well, not.
But I say it as I mean it.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Guess what? These things work better if you could say them with meaning. And the more focused you say it, generally, as they're going, God renews my life. God renews my life. Yeah. You know, if you can get a little passionate about it and have a little bit of intensity in it, I say that this is a lot like the guy who plays the gong. So you got this big orchestra. You know, you don't get to play a lot of gong. So for about 6,000 measures, you're going 1, 2, 3, 4, 2, 2, 3, 4, and you're polishing your little gong mallet, you know. And then finally it's coming up. And there's that gong, man. And, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, bong. And, you know, that's what you've been waiting for. And so for that, you know, it's all been anticipation. Then for that 2 seconds, or that 4 seconds, or however long it's to prepare your mallet and to pull that out, that's all there is in the world. You, the mallet, and the gong. Yeah. Gong. Right? And then what does it do? That's the echo. So every time you say the recognition, it's like the mallet hitting the gong, and then the echo is like the resonating. And depending on, you know, how this was made, how it's been treated over the years, you know, what's inside of it, depends on how well it resonates, how it sounds, and stuff like that. So it's all kind of like that.
Yeah, well, I'm a real passionate person as a group of a rule, and maybe that's why I do it that way. And everything I do.
Let me thank you. You got a question for me or anything else?
That was it. You did very well.
Thank you.
I like the gong part.
I actually saw the gong show once. I've been inspired by it ever since. Okay, let me pick one of our online people. Candace, can you tell us a little bit about your experience?
There was a sensation of a washing down from the top of my head. But when I was going through the part with a little child, I literally did go back to a time when I choked on a piece of candy, and I think my mother must have told me about it. Literally stuck his finger down in my windpipe and pulled it out. So there was a sense of reliving that. And then at other stages, becoming older,
what recognition brought that memory up?
Sorry, I can't hear you, Cal.
What recognition brought that memory up of the choking?
I've lost sound. Okay, I can hear now.
Yeah, you shouldn't have to be switching back and forth now that I have this on.
Yep.
Well, what I want to know is what recognition were you doing when the choking incident came up?
It was the second half, with the second recognition.
Okay, yeah, I kind of anticipated that. Now, I wasn't there, so I don't know if this is true for you, but there may have been some message in that moment that there was, you know, what's wrong with you? Why did you do that?
And your life changed at that moment in terms of safety, security, or something. And this delta made me lovable, then either resonated or dissonated. But it's possible it could be completely the opposite. You know, at that moment, something happened that made you feel very loved. You see, it's either resonant or dissonant with the recognition that brought it up.
Yes, and what's interesting is right after that, I recall the time when my grandparents would come and get me and take me to spend the night at their house because my mother had just had a baby. And I was probably about 3 and a half. And I remember just screaming to the top of my voice. I mean, as though I was being taken away from my mother for forever. And I, you know, apparently it happened repeatedly. So, you know, there was this sense of apparently someone loved me enough to save my life by kicking the candy out of my windpipe. And yet the same people, my grandmother and grandfather in this case, kept taking me away from my mother.
That's right. And so this is stuff you haven't thought about in years, or sometimes these things will come up, you know, you hadn't even ever remembered them before, but they are issues that relate somehow to the recognition.
Yes.
Good. Any questions for me, Candace?
You know, I really enjoyed the experience.
Good. Thank you very much. How about anyone else online? Do you want to volunteer to share? Ali?
For me, it was even deeper than the first recognition you did yesterday. In the regression part one, I cannot visualize myself as a kid. That was actually a nice feeling. When I started laughing and smiling, I just felt like all of my adult crap went away. But you agreed for a moment in all of the adult stuff. All of the...
Remember I talked about the astronauts with the upside-down glasses? Now, a lot of people will say, oh, well, I know I've done inner child work. Or I know that I'm lovable, you know. But what if you began every day, ended every day, and went to sleep at night focusing on this recognition for 30 days? You see, rewires the brain. Now, we're going to have other things. You say, well, you know, well, Kyle, you're not the first one to talk about blah, 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 blah. I go, amen, hallelujah, that's right. If it was absolutely brand new, it probably wouldn't be truth. Truth has been said in a million different languages in a million years. Okay? But how about a technique where we begin every morning and end every day recognizing who we really are, free of the programming of childhood, the misperceptions of childhood, free from the programming and criticism that we're getting as an adult? That would make a difference, wouldn't it? Anything else, Ali, or questions for me?
No questions, thanks.
Okay. All right. Next, Akiko. I know you want to share it. You saw the little girl?
Yeah.
That you once were?
Yeah.
Was she cute?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. In Japan, it's normally parents, I don't know, but not the use of cute or don't use that word so much. So I'm not familiar with word, but I like this word because, you know, for me, I'm a woman, I always want to somebody love me or something like that. So you keep your word It's made me always lovable. It's I feel never feel this kind. It's so I cannot say, but so warm. It's so warm. Warm and cannot say, but it's so feeling so good. Yeah.
Do you know anybody that could use that? Do you know anyone who could use that feeling, who would like that also?
Also.
Okay, I'll try again. Do you know anyone that would benefit from seventh path practice? You! Everyone. See, so, you know, you're not so different from so many other people. I had the same things from German families and Scandinavian families, and they said, oh, you know, but it wasn't so much where they said, you're cute, you're lovable, I love you all the time. You see? Some families are like that, and some cultures are more like that. But some cultures are not. The Chinese, for example. I mean, half my family is Chinese, so I'm familiar with that part of Asian culture. And with not so much, I love you all the time, and here's a hug. See? So I know that Seven Path is very fresh and new, these ideas, to people like in Singapore. And if you ever go back to Japan, you will take back something that can make so many people feel the way you feel.
Yeah, I think so too. It's so powerful. So if I hit something in my heart, so it's my heart beginning to warm and happy, and my heart beginning to throw down to my hand, head, feet, so I feel I become a lovable person.
Yeah, and from my point of view, you always were. But you're beginning to recognize that. That's why they're called recognition. It isn't news. It's like, I could have had a VA. You know, it's like, oh, duh, oh, whatever you would call it, right? It's going to resonate and have a familiarity with it, no matter where you're from. Good. Anything else you'd like to share? Questions for me? Thank you. Next. Astra, you got, why don't you share? It's always fun to hear what pregnant people are doing.
The second recognition, my brain kept forgetting what you said. I was like, me always lovable, and then I'd hear an echo, and you know it's lovable, I'd hear an echo. What's that about lovable? What was that word again? Renews my life.
So what do you make of that?
My armchair analyzation of myself?
Of forgetting it. I mean, are you a forgetful person that can't memorize like 4 or 5 words?
Not especially, no.
So that's kind of interesting, isn't it, that all of a sudden you couldn't hold on to Delta made me always lovable.
Yeah, it's I would have to have you
re-say it. I'm like, that's the phrase.
So what do you make of that?
I have father issues. And I think that's part of it.
There's a part of you that is going, gosh, it would be more comfortable to just forget all about it. Mm-hmm. See, forgetting is a coping technique. Forget about it.
No, it's quite possible because I don't actually remember any of my childhood except what I've seen in pictures. Mm-hmm. You know, I just remember the pictures. Mm-hmm. And when you said, you know, about the child, it's like I couldn't imagine me as a child. You know, I have very few pictures, and I couldn't imagine myself as a child, so I just imagined this one. And, you know, he punched occasionally and, you know, reminded me, okay, there's a child inside, so okay, there we go. And so that was kind of the experience.
And one of the things I very carefully stated in the script is think about or imagine. So you can just think about the whole scenario and not visualize. Think about what it would be like to be with a little one, you know, and not have a visualization experience. So if you have, and most of us do, probably everybody does, times in our lives when we were little curtain climbing, crumb snatching law monsters, where we didn't feel exactly too lovable. Okay? And so, and then there's times when we thought we were lovable. And because of something was going on, a birthday or something. In both cases, we were wrong. We weren't lovable because we did something right. We weren't lovable because it was our birthday. We weren't lovable because we got an A. And we weren't not lovable because Mom was mad at us or we came home late. Both of those are wrong. Okay? We are lovable because we came into this world lovable. We're not lovable because of gender or height or wealth or any of that stuff. People might like that. People might find it attractive. People might praise us for it. But that's not why we're lovable. But when we say, Delta made me always lovable, it's going to bring up both ends of that. Times when we felt we were lovable and times when we thought we weren't. Conditional love, right? And what happens is the protective part of us and its wisdom can go, it's funny how I can't remember that anymore. But I can't remember Delta Renews My Life. That felt really good. I'll just do that. Okay? So and again, when I'm up here, I'm always cognizant of I'm teaching teachers. See? And so I want you to understand how these things work. Okay. Anything else, Astra, you care to share?
No, that was about it. I didn't really have any stark visuals or going to sleep. The first one, you know, worked pretty well, and I remember that. But just the second one, I was like, what is that word? You know, always make has lovable something. You know.
And it's important that it's said in exactly this way. Delta made me always lovable. Not makes me lovable or always makes me lovable or nothing like that. Made is a state of permanence. It's been done. See, if you say, Delta makes me always lovable, it means that you keep becoming unlovable and Delta's got to make you lovable again. It's permanent. You were born that way. Lovable. Good. Thank you. Any questions for me? Squeeze one more in. Next. Do you have any more hands up? Busty, that's close enough for a hand. That's the closest thing I got to a hand up right there.
It's been like yesterday, I keep seeing people. But now, the second one, I've seen people that maybe I haven't seen for 25 years. So I think that after all this, what I should do is when I go home, try to call everyone. Hello! I don't know why it happens to me.
What was the emotional component of that?
Maybe it's because I've chosen love for Delta, so
Say again?
Just love for them.
Ah, mm-hmm.
So, love for such people. Now, love, maybe love. So it's, you make it coming, well, I've been.
So it brings up people from your life with whom you loved or love was an issue?
Yes, and even dead people.
And dead people?
Yeah, yes, the one that was killed in London by the car, you know, crossing. Well, it's fine because I feel happy to see you.
Mm-hmm. Any questions for me?
No, nothing bad.
Thank you. John?
A lady has a question with regards to translating the recognition. She says that they are a little bit longer about 8 words. What do you think is careful about?
All you have to do is make sure you do it perfectly. keep it as simple as possible. You know, some words in another language, it takes 2 words to capture the meaning of 1 word. You know, and just keep it as simple as you can. Elegance and simplicity are very closely related. What language are you thinking about translating it into?
Spanish.
We have people on the Five Path group who are translating it into Spanish, and so you can work with them and you know, get a consensus and have each other check your work. At least 2, 3, 4 people who may have already done it and make your life easier. So when we get you signed up for the Five Path group, say, hey, I want to work on that. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, see you in 1 hour and 15 minutes. So it'll be 2:15.
You don't get